Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports, Mid-Michigan. We've got a great hour in store for all of you out there right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Happy Monday, July 31st, the final day in July. A bit sad, I know, because we now just have, what, one official month left of summer, and then it's back to the books. For many young tykes out there, including those students here at Michigan State University and colleges across this great nation. Soak it up, folks. Enjoy it, especially those here in Michigan, because as we all know, we get about, what, 4 good months of beautiful weather, and then it's back to the cold and snow, right? So soak up the sun, and we're going to have a lot of fun here on today's current sports to start your week off. Well, today's current sports, we will talk about Michigan State football reporting for duty. That's right, MSU football fall camp got underway today. They reported, actually, yesterday. And today, practice was open to the media. Just a few sessions, about 6 sessions, as MSU football customarily allows us to shoot until everything goes into lockdown mode and they get down to the nitty-gritty. So I was actually out at the MSU football practice facility around 10 a.m. along with our current sports intern, Karina Garcia. We will tell you what the new motto is for MSU football. Also, we'll have a few takeaways when it comes to which players and personnel were suited up for this morning's practice. You don't want to miss that. Right now, Karina Garcia, she should be back in studio very soon. She's conducting player interviews right now as head coach Mark D'Antonio spoke with the media at 12:20, followed by select players. So we hope to have some feedback and report from her later on this hour. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk about the Detroit Tigers making some moves over the weekend as the trade deadline is now just 3 hours away. 4 p.m. is when the MLB trade deadline ends. And we'll tell you about a few moves the Detroit Tigers have made and whether or not they are expected to make any more moves as the time ticks down. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk about the fight game a bit as Adrian the Problem Broner. Yeah, he loses again to the undefeated Mickey Garcia. We'll talk about that fight also in the world of UFC. What about John Jones? My goodness. Definitely the GOAT when it comes to this sport. John Jones, what a story. What a comeback story for him. Topping Daniel Cormier with a 3rd-round knockout. We'll talk about those 2 fights, and we will, of course, have weekend winners for you as well. A loaded show. If you want to be a part of it, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, again, folks, MSU football reported to camp yesterday. Practice was open to the media the first six sessions this morning at 10 a.m. I was there, shot some footage that will be available via Facebook.com/currentsports. I'll be putting together a two-minute drill report, so keep it locked via Facebook.com/currentsports for that report later on this afternoon. But we'll have a few takeaways from what I observed this morning during MSU football camp. And I guess I'll push this through. Right now, MSU football, of course, you know, this is like the exciting part for us media members when fall camp first starts, because you get to hear what the motto is. You get to see what the motto is. And as soon as we walked out to the practice field at the Duffy Doherty building, you could see that a new motto had been painted on the concrete leading up to the practice field, and it was also painted on the rock. There were multiple signs that read, quote, "The best start here." That is MSU football's new motto heading into the 2017 season, "The best start here." We'll have more from MSU football practice in just a moment. Speaking of MSU football, former MSU football star and Seattle Seahawks second-round pick Malik McDowell, he was involved in a vehicular accident, an ATV accident, a couple of weeks ago, and is now at home here in the state of Michigan recovering as the team begins training camp. According to an NFL Network report, McDowell was involved in an ATV accident and suffered a concussion along with facial injuries. McDowell said in a statement posted on Twitter and Instagram that his injuries aren't life-threatening and won't put his career in jeopardy. He said, quote, "I appreciate all the concern regarding my health. I just want to clear the air. I am doing well and expect to rejoin my teammates in Seattle in the next few days. My injury is not life or career threatening, as some have speculated. I am grateful for the support I have received from the Seahawks organization, my doctors, and my family. You will see me back on the field in the near future." All right, the Detroit Tigers making some moves over the weekend as the trade deadline looms. It ends at 4 p.m. this afternoon. The Chicago Cubs acquired lefty reliever Justin Wilson and catcher Alex Avila from the Detroit Tigers in exchange for third baseman Yamir Candelario and minor league shortstop third baseman Isaac Paredes. The team announced that today officially. Now, to fill the two spots on that 25-man roster, the Tigers called up right-hander Joe Jimenez and catcher John Hicks. More on the Tigers in just a moment. Lions tight end Eric Ebron missed a big chunk of time last summer with an ankle injury, and his 2017 training camp got off on the wrong foot as well. The Lions held their first practice of the summer on Sunday, and Ebron wasn't able to make it through the entire session before he injured his hamstring. Ebron did not do any team drills as a result, and Coach Jim Caldwell gave no indication about when Ebron might be able to return to action. Not great news there. All right, veteran safety Glover Quinn, though, has agreed to a contract extension with the Lions. The franchise announced that on Sunday, Quinn made the Pro Bowl in 2014. He had 68 tackles, 5 passes defended, 2 INTs, and a forced fumble in 16 games last year for the Lions. Quinn hasn't missed a start since his rookie season in 2009. Talk about durability, right? Quinn's extension is for 2 years, worth $13 million, according to the NFL Network. The contract has $9.5 million in guarantees. A'shaun Robinson, Detroit Lions defensive lineman, is one of two players who seemed to owe a hefty bill at a nightclub. The bill was large and resulted in a lawsuit filed against Robinson. TMZ reports that Robinson and Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive lineman Caleb Benoch racked up a $9,332 bill with an associate, Richard Harrington, at the Hyde nightclub in Los Angeles back in March. According to court documents, Harrington said that when it was time to pay, both players' cards were declined. Harrington paid the tab with the understanding that the players would pay him back. The associate said each player has sent him just $2,000 each, so he's suing them for more money. The TMZ report does not make clear the exact amount Harrington is suing for or what the exact parameters of the agreement were before the bill was paid. but a $9,332 bill one night at a nightclub? Insane in the membrane. All right. The UFC will bring its UFC 218 pay-per-view event to Little Caesars Arena on December 2nd. The announcement, which came on the same day as the announcement of October's WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view event at Little Caesars Arena, happened during Saturday night's UFC 214 pay-per-view. And on sale date for tickets will be announced at a later date. This will be the first UFC event at LCA. The last pay-per-view event in Metro Detroit was UFC 123 back in 2010, held at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The last pay-per-view event in the city of Detroit was UFC 9, all the way back in 1996, held at Cobo Arena. So exciting stuff there. Get your tickets quick. All right, WBC lightweight champion Mickey Garcia, who sits at a hefty 37-0, absolutely dismantled Adrian the Problem. I guess the problem has been solved, right? Adrian the Problem Broner, who now sits at 33-3, en route to a dominant unanimous decision win in his first fight at 140 pounds. The three judges scored it for Garcia, 117-111, 116-112, and 116-112. In UFC action on that same night, John Jones completed one of the most compelling redemption stories in combat sports history on Saturday when he reclaimed the UFC light heavyweight championship in a third round knockout of Daniel Cormier in the UFC 214 main event. We'll have more on those two fights later on this hour. And last but not least, John Cena had a very touching tribute to Joe Louis Arena last night during the live event at the venue during WWE's SummerSlam Heatwave Tour. The show was WWE's last show in the venue before it is scheduled to be officially closed. Cena noted in his appearance that the arena was where he had his pay-per-view debut 15 years earlier. Goodbye to the Joe officially, I guess, when it comes to the WWE, right? All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show, and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Here we go.
The famous English D, give me the chance to help turn around the proud franchise and the opportunity to play for Jim Leland and to return to the World Series in 2006. The honor was all mine playing in Detroit for such a great honor in Mr. Mike Kellidge. For me, Jim is the best manager I ever played. And I think he will be joining us in this stage very soon.
Yes, and that is how we start this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. A little Jamiroquai to start your Monday afternoon. The weekend absolutely flew by again. Take advantage of the nice weather. It is Michigan, folks. All right. and it is the final day of July. July 31st. Tomorrow marks August. We don't have many more days like this, all right? Get out and enjoy it while also listening to, of course, WKAR throughout the day. We've got a hot show. Sizzling hot show for you guys. As we will talk MSU football. Beautiful morning. Beautiful morning for football, I tell you. Headed out to the Duffy Doherty building to witness the first official non-pad practice for MSU football. We'll get to all of the takeaways from that practice in just a moment. Karina Garcia is just getting back from practice. Got a chance to chat with multiple players. We'll get her on the air to talk about who she talked to and what they had to say. But, of course, I want to start by addressing the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers. We all knew that this is what was going to happen, right? The Tigers were going to be sellers as the trade deadline comes to a close in just about 3 hours. As I stated in our current sports quick hit headliners, the Tigers made a move over the weekend and got rid of Justin Wilson and Alex Avila. Gave those two players to the Chicago Cubs in exchange for third baseman Yamier Candelario and minor league shortstop third baseman Isaac Paredes, and also a player to be named later or for cash. And I must say, though, I thought there would be more action before the 4 p.m. trade deadline. You know, you look at J.D. Martinez, who is now balling out for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That, of course, happened, like a week ago now. Alex Avila and now Justin Wilson headed to the Shy to ball out for the defending World Series champion Chicago Cubs. Ian Kinsler is still with the squad. He capped a 3-run seventh inning against the Houston Astros yesterday, a complete whopping by the Detroit Tigers of Houston. That was surprising, to say the least. Got that update during the day yesterday when I was on the golf course. But Ian Kinsler still with the team. And, you know, not surprised when it comes to Ian that he hasn't been shipped right now, because as I stated last week, Ian Kinsler not getting much attention due to the position that he plays as a second baseman. He is the heart and soul of the team. So I expect him to stay, right? Justin Upton, who hit a slam yesterday. I mean, everybody tagged a baseball yesterday for the Detroit Tigers. He's still with the squad, though. Then you have Miguel Cabrera and Justin Verlander. Now, Justin Verlander is the hot topic. JV actually started on the mound for the Tigers yesterday. He threw 6 scoreless innings against the Astros. And get this, he has a 2.25 ERA in his last 5 starts. However, you look at the entire picture here, a 4.49 lackluster ERA for the season. He is set to make $28 million the next 2 years, and I do believe that that contract mixed in with that 4.49 ERA for the year thus far is what is shying a lot of teams away from trying to make a deal with the Tigers to get Justin Verlander. And according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, Justin Verlander will stay as a Detroit Tiger, along with Justin Upton. J-Up and Justin Verlander, the two Justins, will stay in uniform with the old English D, according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today. I was a bit shocked with that. However, you look at the contract stipulations as it concerns Justin Verlander, again, that is why a lot of teams are a bit wary. If he was lights out, if he had a 2-point-something ERA for the year, I think a lot of teams out there will be taking, you know, that chance in acquiring Justin Verlander. And you look at Upton, I mean, he's hitting, 281 on the year. And the thing with Upton is, you know, there's a lot of layers to that conversation as well. His contract is a big problem because his contract allows him actually to block trades to up to 20 teams. which limits his market value. And two, he can opt out after the season ends. So that contract stipulation is what is ideally keeping Justin Upton in a Tigers uniform. And given the rising salaries across the league, it is not too hard to see Upton trying his hand at improving upon the $22.1 million that he is promised annually through 2021. Justin Verlander, though. Yeah, that's a really intriguing situation. Justin Verlander, again, according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, Justin Verlander will stay a Detroit Tiger. And I think when having this conversation, this also factors in as well. I mean, you got two big names out there that are supposedly going to be involved in some trades here before 4 p.m. That being Yu Darvish and Sonny Gray. Those are the two other big-time pitchers who are reportedly options on the trade market. I've been following that throughout much of this morning. On Saturday night and Sunday morning, multiple reports indicated a high probability of the New York Yankees acquiring Sonny Gray. But I looked yesterday afternoon as well. It looked as though by yesterday afternoon that those negotiations had completely stalled and had hit a wall, right? Bob Nightingale, he was optimistic over that swap, but right now it looks like nothing's going to be made. There's still time, though. And I'm looking on Twitter right now, and a lot of people are predicting that a deal will be made with the Yankees and the Oakland Athletics to settle a last-minute deal for Gray. So, Sonny Gray, definitely a big name that can be involved there. And as I mentioned, you know, you look at Yu Darvish, you know, and the other team involved in that are, of course, the L.A. Dodgers. Rangers trading Yu Darvish to the L.A. Dodgers. Interesting. I mean, he makes a lot of sense for L.A. You know, they're looking for a short-term ace. And a lot, you know, looking at him coming in immediately, Yu Darvish is one of those. He's one of those pitchers. He can come in and make an immediate impact and help the team right off bat. So, and again, neither Gray or Darvish has the huge contract stipulations that you get when you look at Justin Verlander, who, again, through the next 2 years, is owed a lot of moolah. $28 million per year, the next 2 years. Not a lot of teams are looking at JV and saying, okay, we're willing to take on that moolah while looking at that ERA. So what did the Tigers get? I mean, when you ship out Justin Wilson and catcher Alex Avila to the Chicago Cubs for a third baseman in Yamier Candelario and Isaac Paredes, what do you get? Who are these prospects? Well, Candelario, he was signed back in 2010 for a $500,000 deal out of the Dominican Republic. He's 6'1", 210 pounds. He is a switch hitter who really did impress in the Dominican Summer League at the age of 17. And he has really been a pretty big prospect for a few seasons. The Cubs have a great farm system. And many predict that Candelario is the best out of them all. A lead prospect for many years. And rose to the top of the Cubs system this year when Eloy Jimenez left town. Now, according to MinorLeagueBaseball.com, Candelario, a switch hitter, he's got a powerful quick swing. Also goes on to read, quote, with a defined leg kick, he launches into the ball, which thus far has resulted mainly in doubles. The home runs continue to mount each season, however, so the power is clearly there. Most of his power comes against righties as a left-handed hitter, where he's blasted 9 home runs and 20 doubles this season, end quote. I like the move for Candelario. I mean, he's a guy who's going to be sent to the minors. See if he can prove himself within the Detroit Tigers farm system and possibly get moved up. But right now, again, to fill those two spots on the 25-man roster, the Tigers called up Joe Jimenez and John Hicks, a move that was expected. Don't know much about Isaac Paredes. You know, Paredes seems to be, there's more to be said about Candelario than Paredes from what I've read. But again, you talk about prospects. I mean, these are guys that you can't expect to come in right into the organization and make an immediate impact. The Tigers are in sell mode. And heck, you know, you look at what happened yesterday with Justin Verlander. I mean, 6 scoreless innings. He looked good. Looked really good. Again, an ERA only a little over a 2 in his last 5 starts. And there were rumors out there that a possible deal between the Detroit Tigers and the Houston Astros could possibly be on the table. Astros could certainly use an ace like JV, I tell you that. So, 3 hours left. Again, Tigers not expected to ship JV, not expected to ship Miguel Cabrera, not expected to ship Jay up. But again, a few moves have been made. I personally dig the move, and it was a predicted move that the Detroit Tigers were going to, you know, put Avila and Wilson on the market. I like the move there. You know, get a top prospect in Candelario, put him in your farm system and see what he can do there. Again, I really don't know much about Isaac Paredes. We'll see what happens with him. He's a shortstop and third baseman. But it's interesting to see what moves are going to be made further. And also, during that intro, I wanted to give a shout-out to Pudge Rodriguez, who was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame over the weekend. And, you know, it's a really cool speech in which he did give props, as you heard in that intro, to Jim Leland, the Detroit Tigers' former manager that Pudge played under. And I know there's a lot of folks out there that are wishing that Jim Leland still was the manager of this team. The other move that will happen after this year, Brad Ausmus will no longer be the manager of the Detroit Tigers. I think that's pretty much set in stone. It's inevitable at this point. Well, what moves would you like to see the Tigers make as we have just, what, under now 3 hours left until the MLB trade deadline ensues, or I should say it comes to a close? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Isaac Constance, our current sports engineer. Isaac, how you doing, my man? First off, how was your weekend, dude?
I'm doing well, enjoying the weather, but unfortunately been cooped up inside for most of it. Moving, you and I actually saw each other driving on past. I was on
randomly.
My bike.
Yeah, I got randomly. Done golfing with Zachary Swiezicki, our former current sports PA, one of our current sports PAs, and you know, I'm driving home, and Isaac, you've actually moved into my apartment complex. So, hey, welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you very much.
So crazy. I mean, that timing. I'm driving into my apartment, and I see this guy just annoying me in my way as I'm trying to get to my apartment, right in the middle of the street, riding his bike, blasting music. And it's Isaac Constance, so how about that?
Paint a pretty good picture. But no, I mean, yeah, I've been trying to keep up with everything still. As far as the Tigers go, I did see the news that JV would be staying in town most likely for another year with the Tigers. And as a fan of the team, which I'm not, but as a fan, a lot of people are happy about this. They think this guy should retire with the Tigers. They want sentiment to win out, and they want him to pretty much be one of the hallmark staples of the team and eventually have a statue in the outfield just like the greats, Kaline, Cobb, Verlander, all of those guys. Here's the thing. If you can sell him, you do. The thing is, though, you cannot sell him right now for the same reason you cannot sell Miguel Cabrera. You're not willing to swallow enough of that contract, which I think the Tigers should try to take almost all of it. The goal right now is not to keep players around for the sole purpose of fulfilling their contractual agreements. It's to build a team for the future because you don't have one right now. The Tigers, however, I heard, were only willing to take this year's contract from Justin Verlander, pay it off before giving him to another team. They've got to be more flexible than that. But right now, as it stands, I was happy from the Tigers' point of view to see the trade that did send Alex Avila and closer Justin Wilson over to the Chicago Cubs. I thought they got some good prospects. And, of course, we all know how rich that Chicago Cubs farm system is. However, the Tigers, in my opinion, they still need to be fielding phone calls and willing to bend a little bit more. But, unfortunately, it does not look like that will be the case.
Gosh, and I tell you, you look at how this year has gone. There have to be a lot of Detroit Tigers fans out there that have just been so frustrated and so disappointed. I mean, because this is a team now that for sure is not going to make the playoffs. You know, if that wasn't clear before this last week with moves being made due to the trade deadline looming. But you look at this now, and Wilson, you know, in the midst of a good season for the Tigers. I mean, he took over as closer with K-Rod being gone from the team. Took over as closer, saved 13 games in 15 tries, a 2.68 ERA. 55 Ks against 16 walks in 40 and one-third innings of work. That's pretty solid. Justin Wilson came in with that whole drama that surrounded K-Rod and said, you know what, I am going to hold it down for this team. The Cubs get a steal in Justin Wilson. And you look at Alex Avila, what, hitting 274, knocking on the door of 300, 11 doubles, 11 homers, 32 RBIs in 264 plate appearances this season. I think Avila is a guy that can come in and help out the defending World Series champs. That's the thing. You look at the Cubs. That is such a stout organization. You get a Justin Wilson who can come in and help out that bullpen. Alex Avila, another bat for you to utilize as the year goes along and as you go into the playoff hunt. The Cubs are going to be yet for another year, and a very young team already, another year, a team that is going to legitimately compete to defend last year's World Series championship. And you look on the flip side of things now, I mean, who knows how long it's going to take for the Detroit Tigers to get back into the conversation as not only a playoff contender, but a World Series contender. And you evaluate guys who have been on this team and have been a part of the recent success in the last 5 to 7 years, guys like a Justin Verlander, guys like a Miguel Cabrera, and I can only imagine what's going through their heads. They now realize that the window has officially closed. I guess now it's about just playing the best baseball that they individually can play and trying to go out and try to compete for playoff appearances now. But I can only imagine what's going through JV's head to watch where this franchise once was and now where it is now. It's going to be a transition period that I don't know if the Detroit Tigers can get back on that saddle in the next 2-3 years. It's going to take a minute, I think.
It's a great question because here's the thing. You go from the top of the game. You go from World Series contenders playing in the World Series, and you're the face of that franchise. 5 years later, you're still the face of that franchise. Now you're trying to tank. And they can't sell you because your contract is so unpalatable for any other organization. They can't move you. They can't let you go because you still have a few years left. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to lose. I mean, that's got to be what it is now. You're just plain and simple going for that statue in the outfield, giving it all you have. But a championship's out the window. Lots of bonus incentives that come with the amount of wins you can record in a season. Those are out the window. It's an interesting scenario for some of the Tigers' senior players.
Without a doubt. And as far as what some of the national pundits are grading the Detroit Tigers' move, I'm seeing here on ESPN.com that senior writer, David Schoenfield, he gave the Tigers a C+, while he gave the Cubs an A when it came to this Wilson and Avila move for the Detroit Tigers and the Chicago Cubs. What do you think? How would you grade the latest trade move made by the Detroit Tigers over the weekend that was officially set in stone this morning? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about takeaways from today's Michigan State football practice. I was there at 10 a.m., got a chance to sit through, what, about six sessions? I'll let you know how the Spartans are looking in day one of practice. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You know, I saw this story and just shook my head and said, come on, dude. I just don't understand. You know, if you are a big-time athlete getting paid millions and millions of dollars and knowing that your body is your moneymaker, why you put it at risk doing something just stupid? I really don't understand it. Malik McDowell was involved, former MSU football star Malik McDowell was involved in an ATV accident. He suffered a concussion along with facial injuries. He, as I noted in the headliners, he put out on Twitter, hey, I'm going to be fine. You will see me back on the gridiron very soon. But I just don't get it. Your body is literally a million-dollar moneymaker. Yeah, you decide to do something like ride an ATV. Now, I get it. You know, live life to the fullest. You want to enjoy yourself, right? Riding an ATV is fun. You know, I see some players riding motorcycles. They got motorcycles, and some even play pickup basketball. Some football players even play pickup basketball. There's risk whenever you do anything that involves something like, especially motorsports, but anything that involves any athletics away from your professional realm, there's risk involved. But if I was a dude making millions of dollars, I'm not riding an ATV. That's something I say for after my football career, after I decide to chuck up the deuces and call it a career. And now Malik McDowell is going to have to sit out for a minute. Not even going to participate, at least right now, in Seattle Seahawks training camp. I just don't get it. All right, MSU football, folks. Practice was held this morning at 10 a.m. The media was able to attend the first six sessions, and then head coach of the MSU football team, Mark D'Antonio, was made available to the media at 12:20, and then select players were made available for interviews shortly after Coach D spoke. And you know, just a few takeaways from what I observed in my brief time this morning at the Duffy Doherty Sports Complex. First off, the motto for the team is the best start here. That is the motto for your Michigan State 2017 football team. Isaac, just quick takeaway. You like that? I don't know what it means. I'm sure Mark D'Antonio explained that a little afternoon around that 12:20 press conference, but the best start here. If you had to just guess, what does that mean to you? I guess it means
something
about
legacy. I mean, who knows? I'm actually not a big fan of the model. I'll say that from the start.
It's kind of plain. It's just like,
it is plain.
The best. It's corny. What model isn't corny though? The best start here, coming off a 3-9 season, and evaluating what took place in the offseason, I really don't know what kind of rallying cry that is for 2017.
You know what would have been better? You remember that Eminem album, Recovery? That would be a good title for the Michigan State football team.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Coach D isn't an Eminem fan. He doesn't look like it, at least. But yeah, the best start here is the motto. I'm curious to get our listeners' thoughts on that. Do you like the motto? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. A few other observations. Demetrius Cooper was at practice. Number 98, of course, Coop was involved in a dicey situation with a PACE officer, a parking enforcement officer here in East Lansing, in which he allegedly spit in the face of that PACE officer. And he had to go through, you know, D'Antonio calls it being red-locked, and he had to go through stages of being red-locked. There are apparently four stages of being red-locked, which means you're basically in hot water with Coach D'Antonio and the team. And D'Antonio, during his 12:20 media availability, he said that defensive end Demetrius Cooper has reached stage three of the red locked process. So that means he has his scholarship back. That's stage three toward full reinstatement. So he has his scholarship back. We saw him out there. Karina Garcia, Current Sports intern, and I, we saw him out there this morning, rocking the white 98 jersey. Also, I'm seeing here, this is being reported from Chris Solari. Michigan State football has its first commit of 2019. Spencer Brown, a four-star offensive tackle from Walnut Lake Western, he announced his pledge to MSU on Twitter this morning. He's 6'6", 295 pounds. He held offers from Louisville, Boston College, Iowa, Minnesota, and several other schools. Of course, that wasn't an observation at practice. I just wanted to throw that out there for you all. So, Coop, he's all good, I guess. Stage three, he's ready. He's on scholarship now. He's ready to play some football and put whatever happened during that day with that parking enforcement officer in the back of his mind. Also, freshman defensive end LaShawn Paulino Bell was at practice for Michigan State this morning as well. Of course, Paulino Bell made headlines in the offseason because he was involved in a jet ski accident out in the beautiful Bahamas. So Paulino Bell is at least practicing. Not sure if we will see him this upcoming year. However, he is out there under the sun with his teammates. So, and also got a chance to see the quarterback core. Again, so much you can observe through, what, 20 minutes of practice, right? I mean, you only get to see the first six sessions, but got a chance to check out the quarterback core. Brian Lewerke just going through drills, really didn't see him throw the ball, just going through light drills where he's hiking the ball, taking a three-step drop, and that's about it. You know, we saw others as well, like, you know, Rocky Lombardi, Messiah DeWeaver as well. But, you know, again, it's hard to – you can't draw any hard conclusions unless I'm a spy from the tallest tree here on Michigan State's campus, spying over and looking over the MSU green wall. Just a few takeaways there. Karina Garcia joins us in studio, live here in Studio S. Karina Garcia has been running around since this morning doing a fabulous job for us. And, Karina, you got a chance. I'm seeing here it's importing right now. I'm working hard to try and get a bite on the ear. It's looking slim. I won't guarantee anything. But you got a chance to talk with, let's see, one, two, three. It looks about like six different players here. Andrew Dowell, yeah. Brian Lewerke. I'm seeing Kari Willis as well and a few others. I'm not sure who the names are. Looks like four different players.
Four
different players. Just in different clips. I'm sorry. I'm looking at it wrong here. Based on what you were able to observe during those interviews, any takeaways from those individuals, anything sexy that they had to say or just kind of the generic, we're playing hard, day one of practice?
You know, surprisingly, there actually wasn't that many players out to talk and they didn't have much to say. But I mean, what I took away, I asked Andrew what the motto meant. And he just has a generic, you know, it's we're looking forward, taking the right steps in the right direction for a better year. And I was like, that doesn't really add up with the motto, but
yeah, the best start here. Does that mean that? I don't know what that means.
Best
I
guess starts here seems like it's looking back instead of forward.
Like,
you know,
it's looking back.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Coach Dan, because you didn't get a chance to sit in on Coach D's. You got there a little later after that, but I'm curious to see what Coach D'Antonio had to say about that. And Karina, you and I were joking as we left the 10 a.m. availability. I'm walking to my car and I'm saying it's probably, you know, Coach D'Antonio, he's a really deep thinker. He's a really spiritual guy. There's probably some deep meaning where he's, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I had a dream last night, you know, and those words just came into my mind. And I just thought that'd be a great model for the year. It's probably something deep. We just don't know what it is. Okay.
So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, right? We'll figure it out as the day moves along here. But what are the takeaways?
They're really confident for this year. Kari said that, you obviously can't compare last year to this year yet, but they've done the right, quote unquote, right things in the off season.
Okay.
The rest of them really talks about how they bonded on the off season. I guess they had basketball tournaments, went bowling together, just trying to bring the team together after all this drama. But not really a lot to say. I mean, they've changed certain plays position wise. I know Andrew is a linebacker, so he was talking about his plays. But as for the team, they're just, you know, trying to move forward. They didn't really have much to say on that.
Well, I tell you what, you talk about these camps, right? I mean, they just had Big Ten Media Days last week. Of course, not these select players. The three players that we expect to be captains in Chris Fry, Brian Allen, and Gerald Holmes. Those are the three that we expect to be captains, at least. I mean, Mark D'Antonio having those three players accompany him out in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. That's what we are trying to draw right now. But I mean, when you go through Big Ten Media Days and Coach D'Antonio holds a long press conference and then he does a media scrum with any media members that want to come up to him and do a media roundtable, there's only so much you can elaborate on after that, right?
You know what was interesting? Brian actually said that the players now are more receptive to him.
To Mark D'Antonio?
No, to him, to himself.
Oh, to
so
Brian.
So I don't know if it's because he was injured and didn't play last year, but I guess now since he's, you know, starting quarterback, that the players are more receptive to him is what he just kept saying over and over. And we were trying to ask for examples, and he didn't really give any, but it's like he's happy that the team is finally listening to him.
Okay, well, and so Brian, too, he was the first pick in the spring game, if I'm not mistaken. He's somebody who commands a lot of respect on the football field.
Without a doubt. I mean, you could just tell. I mean, two individuals that you could just tell are leaders when you talk to them, Gerald Holmes and Chris Fry. When you talk to those two, when you interview those two, they just have like a – it's hard to describe. They're just they're very upfront and honest with their answers, and they're very assertive with their answers. You can just tell they have that leadership swag. And you know, it's funny that Brian Lewerke made the comment that the team is starting to buy into basically him being the guy behind center. And I think that's very important. I think that Mark D'Antonio had that on his agenda at Big Ten Media Days last week when he reiterated that Brian Lewerke is going to be the starting quarterback to start at least week one, because now you put out all the drama. There's not going to be this open quarterback competition. The players can buy in and start to get acclimated mentally with Brian Lewerke being the guy behind center. I think that was the right move for this squad. And moving forward now, though, I mean, the thing that concerns me, I mean, Brian Lewerke is a guy that had two or three starts last year for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And you're now putting a lot of pressure, Mark D'Antonio comparing him to Kirk Cousins, of all names in Michigan State football lore. Mark D'Antonio compared Brian Lewerke to Kirk Cousins. He's got a lot of pressure on him. And as I stated before, it is going to be a lot of pressure or spotlight on the running back core to take some of that pressure off of Brian Lewerke's shoulders come the start of the year. And I look now, again, don't draw too much into what I'm about to say here, but Karina and I, we did see LJ Scott on the field, and he did, as 50 Cent would say, walked with a limp. He was limping a little bit. He was favoring his right ankle or right leg. He was limping a little bit. Again, don't draw any conclusions with that. It's just something that I noted when watching MSU football this morning. But it's gonna come down to, you know, guys like LJ and guys like Gerald to make sure they have good years to ease some of that pressure off of Brian Lewerke.
Well, and the thing with Brian, too, that you've got to worry about is that he wasn't promised this spot from the get-go. He wasn't the messiah of this team, Messiah DeWeaver or anything like that. He wasn't anybody who you immediately saw and thought, this is the guy, much like a Tyler O'Connor. Mm-hmm. But because of his play on the field, when thrust into those positions, he proved it. He earned his way to this spot. Unfortunately, there's still a lot of uncertainties when it came to him, because we're drawing conclusions off of just a few games of watching him play. Last season, was the quarterback position one of our central worries about this team? No.
Tyler O'Connor
was an experienced captain, a veteran, somebody who had performed under pressure. Brian Lewerke has less experience, has performed in less big games, and yet he's being put into this position. Now, what I'll say is D'Antonio has observed him a lot more than us. When you see a guy enough, you can make accurate comparison. So maybe Kirk Cousins is a good comparison. But you're right. It's a lot of pressure for a guy who's coming in with an offensive line who's going to be full of novices, with a receiving core who just lost their best player, with a running back core who might be a little bit limp in here and there, might be a little bit injured here and there. And again, a little bit of uncertainty, even though that's probably your stronghold on the offensive position. There are uncertainties on this team, plain and simple.
Sure.
And it's on Brian Lewerke to try to resolve that, which is tough as a redshirt sophomore.
And one of the big questions I now have, with Mark D'Antonio coming out and saying that, okay, Brian Lewerke is the guy. But let's just say, hypothetically, that Brian Lewerke does not come out and perform as D'Antonio expects him to perform. Who is going to be the number two quarterback? So I have a question for both Karina and you, Isaac, and our listeners out there. Who do you believe is going to be? Damian Terry, who is a fifth-year senior, once a highly touted recruit. We saw Terry start a few games last year, had an up-and-down outing, not a really consistent passer. Will it be Masiah DeWeaver? Who, you talk about heralded. I mean, with a name like Masiah, you better come in and really be well or good, better than good, if you have a name like that. But Masiah DeWeaver, you know, a lot of fans were really big on Masiah DeWeaver. Heck, I had a doctor's appointment last week, and my doctor was like, oh, man, I think Masiah DeWeaver is going to be that number two guy. I mean, I've been waiting on Masiah DeWeaver go out there on the gridiron and do his thing. So a lot of fans want to see Masiah come in and possibly be the Masiah for this team. So who do you guys think is going to be the number two guy to possibly have a shot at that starting role if Brian Lewerke doesn't live up to the billing? Well, is it going to be Damian Terry, who we've seen a lot of last year, or will it be Masiah DeWeaver, or maybe Rocky Lombardi? Who? Karina?
I think it's going to be Masiah.
You think it
I
will?
I want to see a younger player. I think he has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, Damian has been here for how many years now? I mean, yeah, he played and played in a few games last season, but I haven't really seen what he can do for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he had an up and down career, and I think that Masiah has, you know, kind of climbed up there. So I want him to have a chance. I want to see what he can do.
Right.
And if they're both in the same boat, then I don't know what we're going to do. But I want to see Masiah.
And I'm curious about the health of Damian Terry as well. I mean, if you rewind the clock back to last year, season finale at Penn State. He was solid for a minute. He was solid. I was impressed at what he was able to put together. And then, you know, when he got injured, it was like, oh, my goodness, come on now. You know what I mean? So I'm curious about his health and whether or not he can piggyback off of that performance before the injury. But the injury is going to be a factor. Isaac, if you had to choose, who would it be?
Karina's exactly right in her reasoning. It should be Masiah DeWeaver because this is a guy who can provide that spark for years to come to this team. He should be the savior, all of that. He's mobile just like Damian Terry, but he has a better arm. Also, lefty quarterbacks like Masiah DeWeaver tend to throw defenses off a little bit. Damian Terry, I believe, is a lefty too, but even so, he brings a little bit less to the table in my mind. He's more established, more customary. You know what you're getting. He runs the option, and he throws inaccurate passes. Plain and simple. But I think D'Antonio probably goes with Terry. Because he's gone with Terry for this long, it doesn't make sense for him. We know he's loyal to a fault. It doesn't make sense for him to break that train right now. I think he goes with Terry as the number two.
If I had to guess, I would say Terry as well. I know we've seen Coach D in the past. He likes going with the experience. He likes going with a guy who he's seen a lot of tape of. I think I hope Masiah can make a run at this thing.
Look at this team. It's a whole new young team. We don't know that many names. You know, right. It's a whole new team. So I think it's going to be Masiah.
That's going to be an interesting battle. We'll see what happens. Also, have to note this. Tyson Smith is a player who we had no idea this happened. Tyson Smith, he revealed on Twitter back in May that he had suffered a stroke last year. Tyson Smith was also suited and booted earlier this morning to play for Michigan State. And that's a story, Karina, that you had kind of a scoop on that you kind of sat on, didn't you?
You know, my heart still hurts, but I didn't know it happened.
Right.
I asked him to do a story and it didn't work out. I don't think he was just ready to talk at that point.
Right.
But I did see him leaving the training facility when I was walking back to my car after the interviews. So he was suited and ready to go today.
Yeah. And you know, that was such a scary situation that none of the media knew about until he came out in May and went on social media on Twitter and said, yeah, I suffered a stroke last year. And I was like, whoa. A stroke. So it's really good to see him back in good health and ready to start the 2017 year. Final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports with weekend winners. Exactly had the best weekend in the sports world. We dub it Weekend Winners. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, who exactly had the best weekend in the sports world? I'll make it quick. We have just 2 minutes left here on the show. I'm going to go with Mickey Garcia, who showed over the weekend that he is just in another level of class when it comes to the sport of boxing, just completely dominating Adrian. The problem has been solved. Broner. Adrian Broner, don't get me wrong. Adrian came out and tried. There is just another level of boxing that he has not reached, and I don't think will ever reach when it comes to being in the same class as Mickey Garcia. Mickey Garcia is undefeated for a reason. I actually predicted wrong in that fight. I thought Adrian was going to come out and possibly win in a decision in that fight. That did not happen. Also, John Jones is the greatest fighter of all time in UFC history. To come back after what he has gone through with the cocaine addiction and going through rehab, and to come back and to knock out Daniel Cormier, who, by the way, was winning that fight pretty heavily. John Jones, an improbable win. Congratulations to him. One weekend loser, Adidas. Come on. Come on. Enabling that kind of behavior from LeVar Ball, it was sickening. I will piggyback off of that on tomorrow's show. Real quick, Isaac, you got one?
Yeah, give me the Rockies for getting Jonathan Lucroy. I think it's a great move right at the deadline. Also, the U.S. women's soccer team coming back from 3-1 to win yesterday against Brazil.
And Karina, your loser, you have just a loser, and your loser is Malik McDowell, right?
My loser is Malik McDowell, because if you have this great opportunity, you're a great player, you should have took more care of your body.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Preach on. Preach on, Karina. We'll see you tomorrow. Be easy, people.